thing. I don't care if you can beat me up. I could care less if you beat me up. If you're a spiritual coward, you're a coward. Now, I'm not saying everybody's got to turn into, you know, a street preaching, you know, blood sucking and knuckle dragging Neanderthal. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you all got to be preachers. I'm saying that you ought to have some spiritual courage to do right and be willing to follow God and lead your family spiritually.
Yep.
Understand what I'm saying? Let's stand, if you would. Let's go in our Bibles to Psalm 119. You guys did something for me just by doing that that I don't even know how to put it all into words. It's just a blessing. I'm just glad you're on the Lord's side. That encourages my heart. You're not on Reagan's side. You're not on BBC's side. You're on the Lord's side. If you're on the Lord's side, then as long as I'm on the Lord's side and BBC's on the Lord's side, we'll stay together. That's a blessing to my heart, man. All right, Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Let's pray this morning. Father, I love you and I thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity I have to stand in a pulpit and open up your perfect holy word and preach a perfect book to a bunch of, Lord, imperfect people, their pastor included. I'm glad I'm not preaching me. Glad I'm not preaching my opinions this morning or my life experience or my viewpoints. I'm glad you gave me something that's wonderful, that's perfect, that's powerful, that's holy, that I can trust, I can put my faith in. I don't have to critique it or criticize it. I don't have to translate it or manipulate it. I can just believe it. And I pray this morning you help me to be filled up with your word, and please, God, allow me to overflow on your people. I want every fiber of my being to be poured into the word of God. I want every pore of my body to sweat these perfect words. I want it to come out of me, God. And I need your help with it. And I ask you to be a blessing and a mouthpiece and a convicting power in the hearts and minds of your people. I pray you'd feed them this morning. I pray you'd help every one of them, Father, and that you'd get a hold of their hearts. Pray your Holy Spirit would bear witness to the truth that is preached. Help us to judge righteous judgment and to have proper discernment. Speak to our hearts and draw us nearer to yourself, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you can be seated. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 8, and I showed you that the Bible is crucial to our lives because the Bible is how you seek the Lord. I mean, if you really want to seek God the right way and know that you've got the right Christ, know that you're serving the right God. Because there are many Christs, there are many gods in the world, you want the right one. You know Satan is the god of this world, and you know his number one trick, the most subtle thing he can do, is mimic and imitate the Lord. God has a Christ, and Satan has a Christ. God has a Bible, Satan has a Bible. God has a church, Satan has a church. Satan imitates the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the most powerful work that he does. And so in order for you not to be as deceived and drawn away by all the evil spirits in this world and the wicked religions, you got to make sure that when you seek the face of God, you seek it in the Word of God. It's the only thing you have in this world that you can hold in your hands, you can open up and study, you can pray over. It's a solid foundation and it doesn't change. And since you have that anchor and you have that rock in your life and you have that source you can go to, no matter what's going on in your life, this thing doesn't change even though your life circumstances do. You need the Word of God in order to seek God. And we talked about that last week. This week in the second section, you notice the Beth, that's the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet, as this thing is broke down section by section. And each section has a head of the letter, is headed by a letter of the Hebrew alphabet from start to finish. And what this thing is showing you right in the center of your Bible is the heart of the Bible and the heart of a man who learned to love God and learned to walk with God and learned to seek God. He wrote this chapter on the Word of God, and it's something that's really important for you and I to grab a hold of, because it's going to get you from the new birth until death and off into eternity the right way. And what he shows us in the second section, we saw seeking the Word of God last time. This time I want to see the sanctifying power of the Word of God. You want to be like King David. Do you want to be a man that's after God's own heart? Do you want to be a woman that's after God's own heart? Do you want to please God with your life? I mean, we live in a generation that, you know, it's like they want to be saved and not go to hell, but then they don't really care about actually pleasing God with their day-to-day life. It's like, let's fit Jesus in on Sunday and live like hell Monday through Saturday, and then let's show up and fit Jesus in on Sunday. And Jesus is supposed to fit my political view, my worldview, and the Bible is supposed to satisfy everything I want to do, and I'm going to go find things in the Bible that justify my sin. Is that what you want? Or do you want God to sanctify you in your Christian life? Thank you for saving me. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I don't want to take advantage of that. I want my life to be set apart, set aside, consecrated to holy service. That is what sanctification is. Do you want God to use you?
Yes.
All right, then you need the Bible. Because it's the Bible that God uses to set you apart and clean you up and separate you unto service to God. Let me say this, and I need to say this because it has to be said, and you have to grab a hold of what I'm saying, please. There are no shortcuts. Do you understand that? Period. Now, I'm going to say this, and this offends younger folks. I didn't say young. I didn't say you're a child. I didn't say you're not an adult. I said younger folks get offended by this, and I know for a fact because I've been about the truth ever since I gave my life back to Jesus Christ and got right with him. The truth has obsessed me for over 20 years now. And even though the truth obsessed me, I got offended when I heard this preached. But it was truth then and it's truth now. When you're 20, 25, even 30 years old, you can't start off where mama and daddy finished. I don't care what you think. You live in a generation that says, give it to me now and give it to me quick. I shouldn't have to wait. I shouldn't have to work. I shouldn't have to sacrifice. I want my cake and eat it too. Give me the big house. Give me the fancy car. And yes, I'm going on vacation. And yes, I'm buying all the extras and the pop and the entertainment. And I'm doing all that stuff. Listen, that's just not how it works. Just because your mommy and daddy raised you, that you saw mommy and daddy in their 40s and 50s get to that point in their life because they were smart when they were your age. That's why they got there after 20 or 30 years. Well, I just don't make the kind of money they made. Ask them how they started. You start off making the big money? Or do you have to work your way up? You understand what I'm trying to tell you? In life, there's no shortcuts. I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm really not. I say things a little bit sharp sometimes, a little shocking. You know why? I really want to get you to think. I don't want you to sit in church and just doze off and be staring out the window, bored out of your cotton-picking mind and, like, you know, thinking about everything else under the sun and leave here untouched. So nowadays, you got to get their attention. You got entertainment coming at you all the time. So I know I'm a little sharp. I get that. But I promise you, I'm not doing it from a mean heart. I really don't believe I am. I want to help you. Stop being a brat. Stop expecting that you should get it. Just pay your dues like the rest of us. Don't ask mommy and daddy to bail you out every 2 seconds. Get through it. I need some money to pay the light bill. Why is there 5 cases of pop in your pantry? It's none of your business what I do with my money. Then don't ask me for mine. Work your way up. That's life. Why do we walk into church and expect it to be different? I'll give you an illustration. Everybody wants a position, you know. I want to be a Sunday school teacher. Okay, good for you. Do you clean the church? Pastor, I just love the older kids class. Good. Do you work the nursery? You want to get to the older kids' class, right? Nobody wants to teach the 3 or 4 or 5 year olds or 4 or 5 or 6 or whatever our younger grade is. You work the nursery?
Well, I've already done my time. I'm not working the nursery.
Then you're not teaching Sunday school. Amen. Do you understand what I'm driving at?
Yes.
Folks, that's life. God ain't any different. You got to start at the bottom and work your way up. You want God to use you in the Christian life? Here it is. This is a drag. I'm really sorry, but this is how it works.
Yes.
Get in the book. Yep. Stay in the book. Yep. Fall in love with the book. Read your Bible. Believe your Bible faithfully, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and watch God set you apart to do something with you over time. A sanctifying power of the Word of God. To sanctify is to be consecrated and set apart. It's to be cleaned up. It's to be dedicated to a holy work. To be cleansed, to be purified, to be made holy. You know what the Bible says in John 17:17? He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know what the Bible tells you in Ephesians chapter 5? We'll talk about it this evening because we're talking about getting ready for the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, because we get to see us coming back with Christ today, who's faithful and true. And boy, by the time we're coming back with him, we've already been through the judgment seat, coming back about to have the millennial reign of the marriage supper of the Lamb when he sets up the millennial kingdom. What a great thing, man. If you don't understand all those doctrines of the Bible, you need to get in the Bible, man. It's great stuff. And boy, it'll motivate you to get ready to see Jesus Christ, because you're coming and your judgment day is coming. It's coming soon. Do you want to be ready to see him?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about losing your salvation. The Bible says, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The fire is going to come out and try your works of what sort it is. It's going to burn up everything that's dead, the wood, hay, and stubble, and the stuff that's gold, silver, and precious stones, the things you did as best as you knew how because you loved Jesus Christ and you loved God and you obeyed what he said and did his will. That stuff's gold, silver, and precious stones, and he's still going to put fire to that because there's a little element of you in there and you're messed up.
That's right.
And the fire hits that good stuff and it burns all the dross out and purifies it.
Yeah.
Now what a God we serve. Even when I do right, I mess up. Yeah, sometimes my motives are off, or I look back and I'm like, man, I was immature. I was terrible. I mentioned to you, I telling them to get rid of all those messages back then when I first started. Man, I just look at some of that. I get embarrassed. I get red in the face just thinking about it. I'm sure I'll feel the same way in 20 more years when I look back at today. I sure hope not. But man, your perspective changes with time. You know what I can say, though? I can say one thing I'm thankful for, that I'm pretty sure the Lord will put the fire to some of that stuff and he'll purify it when we get there. I did believe the Bible. And I was doing my best to be faithful to God to preach the Bible with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I was preaching the Bible. Yeah, I lacked some wisdom and some things that I needed, and I'm sure I still do today. I'm glad God can put the fire to that stuff and purify it. I'm thankful. I want to be as ready for that day as I can possibly be. You know what'll get you ready? The Bible. How do you know you're ready? Well, my heart's in the right place. Well, the Bible says the heart's deceitful, desperately wicked, and who can know it? Are you sure? How do you know your heart's in the right place? Well, I just believe that love is the answer. Just love. If you just love, well, what are you loving? What is love? You live in a generation that does not know it and does not know how to define it. Let me ask you a question. If you've been married for 20 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. As time goes on, as the decades click by, do you have a better understanding of what love is than you did when you were first married, when you were engaged? By the way, don't rain on everybody else's parade. It's a blessing to be madly in love. That's what I want to see. That's one of the things that I want to see for my kids, is she crazy over him and is he crazy over her? But I will say, after 20 years, it's different. Don't you think your love for the Lord should do the same thing with time?
Yeah.
I don't love him like I should. That's right, you probably don't. Are you in the book? Because I'm telling you, you want to learn to love God? That book will do it for you.
Yeah.
Folks, we need the Bible. We need the Bible so bad we don't even realize it. What the Bible will do in verse number 9 is it'll clean you up. Wherewithal shall a young man do what? You know what that tells you? That tells you you're dirty. Hello.
Well, I'm a good person. Okay, you don't need the Bible. Well, you're not looking at a good person. You're looking at a man that's a sinner. You're looking at a man that's dead in trespasses and sins without the Word of God coming in and giving me the light and showing me the truth. I was born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And the Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian since Christ died, the greatest Christian that there ever has been is arguably the Apostle Paul. And he said, in me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. I find the law written in my heart. There's a law of sin that's in my members and the law of God that's in my heart. I'm a mess. So guess what you are naturally? You're a mess. You know what you need? Cleaning up. You know what I like about this thing? Forgive me for a second, ladies, please. It says, wherewithal shall the young what? Now, it used to be, I know the devil's done a real job on everybody, man. He's just tore everybody up. It used to be it was the men that were more dirty than the women. Now, I can't say that's necessarily as true nowadays. It's pretty pathetic and sad. Well, but I'll tell you what young men need. You know what they need? They need the Bible. You know what fires me up about seeing all these guys up here? It's a bunch of men that learn to fall in love with the truth. That's why they're up there and singing, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Fellas, we need some men nowadays that'll fall in love with God, fall in love with the Word of God, and say, I want to clean up and live right. I think the reason the women have become so dirty is because the men are so dirty. The women say, if that's what we got to do to get their attention, that's what we're going to do. And then they go ahead and do it and get their attention, and they scream, hashtag me too.
Right.
Beat them up all you want, and I get it. I get it. You know, they asked for it. I get all that. But what has happened? How do we get to this point? I'll tell you what we did, gentlemen. We got dirty and we got nasty, and the Bible says that her desire is toward him, so she wants to turn heads and she thinks that's all that matters to you because the men aren't leading spiritually anymore. We need some men that'll clean up and get right with God, and you ain't going to do it without the Bible.
Amen.
It's exactly why the devil's done everything he can to get you out of that book. He tells you, the Bible's boring. Yeah, it is. Did you just say that? You ain't never read it cover to cover. You're going to tell me that trying to read through those lists of name after name after name doesn't bore your flesh. Well, while there are parts of the Bible that might do that to you, guess what else that Bible is? That's the most interesting book you ever read in your entire cotton-picking life, man. That Bible will just grab your attention and hold your attention. It's unbelievable to me the way these kids sitting here, little kids sitting here and pay attention when you preach the Bible and just give them Bible, 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 and apply it to their life. More Bible, and apply it to life, more Bible, and apply it to their life. How they sit there like this. I don't know if they're daydreaming or not, but they're laughing when you laugh. They're turning red when I get on them about bad-mouthing their mama. They must be, I'm telling you, the Bible will captivate your attention. That's an interesting book. That book will get a hold of you. It'll do something in you. It'll stir you up. You need your Bible.
That's right.
And that Bible will clean you up. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you, let's not be a bunch of stinking Pharisees, please. I'm not going to stop wearing a suit. If I die, bury me in a suit. With a Bible right here, okay? I'm not going to stop wearing it. You know why? Because you got a sloppy world that treats church like it doesn't matter. I don't care what you wear. I mean, there's a line, okay? I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm not trying to say everybody needs to dress exactly like me. I'm not going to stop wearing a suit because I think what I'm doing is important. I literally think I would be taking a step down if Biden called and said, listen, the whole thing's a mess. We had some secret things going on in the background. We voted. We sent out a vote throughout the whole world. And, you know, since you're not online, we kept you out of it. And everybody, whole country, and everybody in the country voted. We want you to come be the president. You know what I'd say? Well, sir, I appreciate the respect and thank you for the opportunity, but I can't step down from the lofty position God's given me at the Bible Believers Church in South Lyon, Michigan, to come to the White House. You go ahead and mess it up. I'm staying where I'm at doing the job God gave me to do. Now, if I really believe that, if I really have respect for God, for His Word, for what we're doing here this morning, and for you, why would I stoop to meet the culture? I'm telling you, what we're doing here this morning is extremely important. I'm telling you this morning, you need that Bible so bad, you don't even realize how bad you need it. I'm telling you that coming at you constantly every single day of your life is nothing but filthiness and perversion everywhere you turn. It's constantly in your face and it's accelerating at a rapid pace in the society in which you're living. And the Bible tells you that you are naturally inclined to sin.
That's right.
So what happens when you live in a culture where it's always coming at your flesh 24/7 every day of the week? You know what you need? You need more Bible. We don't need to be like backing off on our church attendance, backing off on our preaching, backing off on our Bible reading. We need more. How are you going to get cleaned up? How are you going to be ready to see Jesus Christ? How are you going to be ready for the judgment seat? You're not going to be ready if you're not in that book. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. You won't be ready without the Bible.
Yeah.
Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way. I need cleaning up, man. I need constant cleaning up. By taking heed. Verse number 9, there too, according to thy word. Folks, I don't just want to be a Bible believer.
Oh, we're King James Bible.
Yep, we are, and we don't apologize.
Yeah.
By the way, we're King James Bible, but that doesn't mean it make us stupid, ignorant, uneducated, and not researching the issue and studying to find out why. And listen to me. King James Bible, that doesn't mean I got a mean spirit.
Right. Yeah.
I love this book.
Yeah.
And I believe every word of it is the word of God. And I'm not here to correct it. And I could prove it to you. But listen. Before I try to intellectually wrestle you to submission, why don't you ask God where his words are?
Amen.
And if you really want to know the truth of that thing, God will show you where his words are.
Amen.
I believe this book. I love this book. I don't want to just be a Bible believer. I want to be a man who has my ear tuned to that book. You see, it's not just getting the Bible in. It's not just being in the right church and getting the right preaching. It's taking heed thereto according to thy word. You see the difference?
Yes, sir.
Folks, there's a huge difference. I'm going to read you this verse. I could quote it, but don't turn there, please, because it's going to be hard for you to find most of you, and I don't want to lose you. But let me read you Amos chapter 8, verse 11. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land." Watch this. "Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." He didn't say a famine of preaching. He said a famine of hearing. Church, I'm trying to tell you this morning, you live in a day and age where there's a famine in this nation. The bigger issues are not politics. The bigger issues are not the housing market. The bigger issues is not inflation. It's not gas prices. It's not interest rates. The bigger issues are not all the mess you got going on in this country and homelessness and the border. Those aren't the big issues. Those are all symptoms of a cancer that's wrecking this nation. And it's a cancer of hearing the word of God. And it's not the lost people. You can't expect lost people to want to hear the word of God. It's the saved people that are saying, "Well, I just don't know why he has to say it the way he says it." That's not for you to judge. That's rude, isn't it? It's not for you to judge. If you don't like it, not like in a repentance kind of way, in like a personal me to you kind of way, being kind and a gentleman. I'm sorry. I don't want to be a jerk. You think I want people to not like me? Yes, you can shake your head and be like, "Yeah, that's what we thought of you, preacher." No. I don't want people to not like me. That's not the thing. The thing is, I have to be myself.
Amen.
And if you know me, then you know that I'm the same guy here as I am everywhere else. No, I don't pound on the table and scream at my family. You can ask them. Their response would be none of your business, even if he did, because they're very protective of me. But I'm as passionate, more passionate about this than anything else in my life, and anything I love, I'm passionate about. So why would I get up here and be paranoid to try to deliver it in a delicate kind of way so that you don't get the point of what I'm trying to say?
Right on, bring it, preacher. Yeah.
You got to understand that. The question is, what is he saying? Yeah. It's not about how I deliver it. It's what is he saying? Do you want to hear the word of God?
Yes.
Then hear the word of God. Get the man out of your head. Is he preaching the truth? Then we'll go sit and listen to the truth. Let me ask you a question. Those of you that like the way I preach, both of you, if I got crippled up, if I had to have the guys build me a platform back here and sit on a bar stool, and if my voice had some kind of disease hit it, God help us, pray that never happens, and I just sat there and talked to you like this, would you still come?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, then you want the word of God. Do you see the point I'm making? Yes. Folks, it's about the Bible. And I'll tell you what God's done throughout the centuries. I'll tell you the truth. You study the Bible and you look at it, you'll find out what God's done throughout the centuries. God's raised up preachers. You go back into the book of Isaiah. Don't go back there. We're going to go, actually, if you would please, go with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. What God's done throughout the centuries is God's raised up preachers. Here's the argument in the day and age that you're living in. Listen to the argument. The argument, well, times have changed and the culture has changed, right? Well, nowadays, it's just like you got to keep up with the times. And people don't want to be talked to like that. They don't want to be preached at. Don't preach at me. If you want to reach people, you don't preach at them. So what we've done in churches, we've had talks now. Speeches. Presentations. Let's discuss. Let's share. Share was when I was a kid. That was when the devil was beginning to boil the frog. Preachers were sharing the word of God. Now it's not even about the word of God. It's about our talk.
Yeah.
Our speech. Well, you Bible-denying hypocrite. Don't call it church. Oh, they're not nowadays. It's community center.
Right.
You guys get it? I mean, I want you to get it. It's not to be like we're criticizing everybody else. It's to say, let's look at what the devil's doing in the world and let's know what we're supposed to be about.
Yeah.
Well, you say, well, the culture's not accepting it. Have you ever read the book of Isaiah? How about Jeremiah? How about Ezekiel?
Right.
Did you know what was going on in Israel? The culture wasn't accepting it. So God says to Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their sin and the house of Jacob their transgression. He tells Ezekiel, he says, smite with the hand and stomp with the foot. And they weren't listening. So it seems like the Spirit of God leads a man to buckle down and go more at it when they won't listen than less. And now you got all these silly little goofballs that just really are more desperate with going to church than obeying God, getting up there and having talks. No, we're here to preach the Word of God. You understand that? Do you know why? Because it is so crucial for you to know that book and love that book and get that thing in your soul. And then listen, God help me, you pray for me, that God will stir it up in my soul so I can pour it out and preach it with some kind of zeal to you. I don't want to be some dead preacher and I don't want to show off my intellect. If I got it or don't got it, that's between me and God. I said it before, I'll say it again. I'm not as dumb as you think I am. And I'm not as smart as I think I am either. Are you in 1 Timothy chapter 4?
Yes.
Look at verse 13. Paul tells the younger preacher, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Doctrine matters. I don't buy into this whole, it might not be good doctrine, but it's good preaching. You mean it's entertaining? You mean it's persuasive? If it ain't good doctrine, it ain't good preaching. You better keep your doctrine straight. And the first application of Scripture is doctrine. So he said, you better give attendance to it. Watch verse 14. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Watch it. Give thyself wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, to them.
that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself. You guys got to understand, when I preach at you about getting cleaned up, you know why? Because I'm not preaching down to you. I'm not talking down to you. I take heed to myself. I try never to preach a message that first hasn't stirred in my heart, convicted me, helped me, or done something for me. I try never to get up and preach a message that God hasn't first laid on my heart.
Right. Amen.
Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. You see that? You know what he says? He says, young man, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Stay in it and stir it up in you. Why has he got to be so excited? Why do you want me to be dead?
Right.
Why don't you want me to be excited about what I'm doing? How many of you love just like dragging yourself into work? Oh, I hate this. Or would you rather go to a job and be like, work and be like, yes, I love my job. Thank God I get to do this, right? Everybody's looking for that job. Nobody has it. I get that. Why would you want me to come to church and be like talking to you about God, who's alive, who's working in your life right now, and the Bible that's real, that's moving, that can change your life, that can clean you up and get you ready for the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, that can impact you, that can help you, that can comfort you, that can convict you, that can guide you, that can change you for the good and help you out? Why would I come in here and do that like a deadhead?
Amen.
Stir up the gift of God that's in thee. Give thyself wholly, wholly, to them. Take heed unto thyself. If you wholly give yourself to the Bible will make you holy, holy. And I'm telling you, when you wholly give yourself to the Bible, and God uses that Bible to help cleanse you and set you apart and sanctify you and purify you and clean you up, that will create holiness, holy, in your life. And that will make you whole, whole. I'm telling you, you want to be happy in the Lord? You want to get cleaned up? You got to have the Bible. You got to love the Bible. You got to be in the Bible. It needs to be alive. It needs to be moving in your heart. It needs to be saturating your mind. Memorize some scripture. It'll clean you up, man. It'll make you happy. No matter, we got so many miserable Christians. Pick up the Bible on Sunday. Some of them don't even pick it up anymore. They're scrolling through their phone. I mean, whatever. I didn't look around and see if anybody's on their phone, by the way. Probably just said that. Somebody's like, oh, he's attacking me. I really didn't. I know you think I see and hear absolutely everything, but I'm half deaf and I'm getting blinder, so don't worry about it. Pick up your Bible only on Sunday. And then you wonder why you're miserable and dirty and struggling with the same sins you were struggling with last year and the year before. You wonder why you aren't getting any forgiveness. You wonder why you aren't getting any comfort. You wonder why you're bitter. Now, I don't, you know what? You ever meet somebody who's chronically sarcastic? You know, sarcasm is kind of can be good, well used, and it's in the Bible actually, moderately. You ever meet somebody who's chronically sarcastic? You know what that is? That's a humorous way of covering up bitterness.
Yeah.
That's why you're a jerk. You're not funny. I don't think you're funny. You know what I'm talking about?
Sir.
You know what will help you with that? Yeah. A book will help you with it. You know why you're bitter? Because you were hurt. That's reality, guys.
Yep.
Just live long enough. I just don't know. That's just they're not my problem. Okay. Why don't you take another couple cruises around the block and come back to me in another 5 or 10 years? You know what you need? You need that book. Amen. That'll heal you. It'll clean you up. It'll help you. You need the Bible. I'm telling you, if all you do is try to get victory and try to stop and try to clean up on your own without picking up the Bible, you're not going to get anywhere. He says you got to give yourself wholly to it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, starting verse number 14. 2 Timothy 3:14. He says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Do you see that? That's a sanctifying process that happens through the Word of God to perfect your life, to change you, and to prepare you to do whatever God wants you to do in your life. In other words, the works that you do for Jesus Christ as a saved person ought to come out of a process that the Bible has done in your life over time.
Sir.
That makes sense?
Yes, sir.
You know what you got churches all over this nation doing? Plugging you in.
Yeah.
The first thing they want to do is, of course, get you in their financial seminar classes. Listen, whether or not Dave Ramsey does a good job personally for you and your finances is neither here nor there, okay? I'm not knocking that.
Yeah.
We've bought the books, read the books, followed the plan, all that stuff, okay? We're still not multimillionaires. We did make him a little richer, though. regardless of whether or not the principles are biblical, the motive for having that in church... If I can get all you out of debt, I can get you to the point where you can give lavishly.
Yeah.
You snake. Why don't you just give them the word of God, let them do with their money what they want to do, and preach to them, and God will give them some common sense and some wisdom, and let them handle that stuff on their own. Why doesn't a preacher stay in his own lane and minister the Bible to you to help clean you up and get you ready for the judgment seat of Christ, and let God provide for the ministry how or when or where or what or why he wants to?
That's right. Amen.
Talking to you about church, man. Talking to you about what true riches are. I'm talking about what God will do. What they want to do is get you in church, get you given, and plug you in. To get you part of the machine so the machine will keep growing. It ain't my job to grow the machine. It's my job to feed you so God can grow you in his good time. And then as time goes on, slowly growing like an oak tree. That'll stand the storms and stand the test of time. The works that you do for God will grow right out of that book. And God will mold you into the servant he wants you to be. And he'll use you a specific way. He won't turn you into a little Mike.
Right.
Or a little pastor. He'll make you what he wants you to be. That's the power of the Bible. Back to Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119. The Bible will cleanse you. If you'll take heed to it. And then verse 10, seek it with the whole heart. It's a cleansing way. In verse number 11, it's a concealed way. Thy word have I hid where?
In my heart.
That I might not sin against thee. You know, I highly doubt people really love the Bible when all they ever want to do is try to argue with you about the Bible. I'm not being boastful. Can I honestly tell you I've spent a lot of time studying my Bible? I'm not saying that I'm the sharpest there is on the Bible. I'm not saying that I know all of the Bible. I'm not saying I'm some great teacher. I don't fancy myself to be a teacher at all. I'm supposed to be apt to teach and I work at it. I don't fancy it to be my primary gift. I want to be a good teacher. I try to be. So I'm not trying to boast myself. I'm trying to tell you that I have spent a lot of time studying my Bible, running the references, comparing scriptures, doing the research, reading the commentaries. If I've gotten anywhere, it's because of hard work. Okay? I know guys that are brilliant, and it's like if I ever sit down and have a conversation with them that I feel like is an intelligent conversation, and I was able to go back and forth with this guy who is a master teacher, like brilliant intellect and all that kind of thing, I feel like, well, the only reason I hung in there is because I am really glad I put the time in. Because he's super smart and I'm super not.
Right.
You want to talk about boxing or jiu-jitsu or something, then maybe I have something to say, you know, not the greatest, but, you know, like, these guys are brilliant. What I'm trying to tell you is I've studied the Bible a lot. And what I'm trying to say about that is the more I study and know my Bible, the less I really am interested in sitting there and butting heads with somebody to try to prove I'm right. When people always want to come in and tweak and correct every little thing, they have a bad spirit. When they always want you to know how much they know, it's because they are the center of the attention and not the Word of God. The heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Why are you still debating? Leave them alone. How about having some Christian charity toward them so that when they get to a point in their life where they want to hear the truth, you're the first person that comes to mind. You think you're going to come to mind if you spend all your time beating them over the head with the Bible because you can beat them up intellectually and you know more than them?
That's right.
I don't care. I really don't care to win that fight. What good did that do me? What good did it do them? You know what I want? I want a heart that's saturated with the Word of God and has that Bible so soaked into my heart that my heart is soft even if my hide is tough. I want a tough hide. It's called armor of the Word of God. But I want a heart that's so soaked in the Bible that I can actually have the wisdom of God to reach people and help people that want to know the truth and avoid people that don't. Because maybe the day will come when that idiot knucklehead will stop being an idiot knucklehead and shut up and learn some Bible. And I want him to come to me and say, hey, can you help me? Because I've seen you live that book. Not just be able to out debate me when it came to the Bible. I want you to know this too because it might comfort you. Sometimes people can out debate you. And you sit there frustrated and tongue-tied. It doesn't make you wrong. It might mean you need to study more. It might mean you need to stay faithful in church and keep coming and keep growing and stay in the Bible. But the Spirit of God will teach you that book. And when somebody's giving you doctrine that's false doctrine, if you're praying and seeking the truth, the Spirit of God will say, just hold off on that. Come talk to preacher. I'll try to help you. Best I can. But the point of the matter is, when you're going to really get sanctified by the Word of God, it's a concealed thing. It's in here. When have I ever preached at you about the outside?
You don't.
I don't. Really weird to me the way some of you folks are cleaning up the outside. Who told you to do that? The preacher wasn't trying to turn you into little robots. Have I?
No.
Okay, I've preached after your heart, haven't I? And it's weird that when you people start falling in love with the Word of God and in love with Jesus Christ and in love with Bible preaching, as your heart gets saturated with the Word of God, the outside eventually starts catching up. Have some of you changed your behavior patterns in the last 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years? Has your behavior pattern completely changed?
Yes, sir.
Has your appetite for where you go and what you do changed?
Yes, sir.
Have you been in situations that you used to think were okay and you're sitting there and you're like, what am I doing here? I need to get out of this. Why am I here right now?
Yes, sir.
What's going on in you? Who told you that? Who got all over your case and said, well, since you're coming to my church, you better make sure you make me look good. Where's that coming from? It's coming from a heart that said, if that's the Bible, and that's the truth, and that's God, I want God. And as you seek the Bible with your whole heart, hey, he washes you up, cleans you up. It's a concealed thing that goes from the inside out. So you got to struggle with the outside. Got some stuff on the outside you need cleaned up. Can I help you get the victory? I want to help you get the victory. Because you need the victory. Hey, Paul tells you to knock some stuff off. He tells you to put some things off. And to put some things on. Has anybody ever struggled putting off some stuff you're supposed to put off? Has anybody ever struggled putting some things on you're supposed to put on? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't think I tend to be the most charitable guy you've ever met in your life. Thinketh no evil. Folks, I'm a pastor. Do you guys know that I'm a pastor? You guys realize my primary job is to study the Bible, pray, seek the Lord, and be God's man. That's my primary job. My secondary job is to love you and give you the Word of God and help you patiently with long-suffering and doctrine. Do you guys know the only thing I'm a pessimist about? Can anybody say it? You guys know, you've heard me say it before. What's the only thing I'm pessimistic about? She all the time, she's like, honey, you're such an optimist about everything except when it comes to people.
You know what I hear when she says that? Pastor, you don't have very much charity. Because charity suffereth long and is kind, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Can I say this, please, but lest you start judging me too harshly? I think God's helping me with it. I think you've helped me with it. Do you know how you've helped me with it? By your faithfulness. By watching you change. By your heart for the Word of God. By your love for each other. By you making it easy to pastor you. Listen, that ain't always the case. It's actually rarely the case. I struggle putting some things on just like you do. You know what happens when I give my heart wholly to the Word of God and God's doing a quiet, sanctifying work deep in my mind and in my soul and in the recesses of my heart and in my motives and in my attitude and the Bible seeping through me and soaking. You know what he starts doing? What starts coming out? Is something that is not of Mike Reagan.
Right.
It's of the Spirit of God. Right. What I'm trying to get through to you, and I'm going to keep trying to get it through to you for a while now because we have a lot of sections to go. You need your Bible. But it's a concealed thing. I probably told you the illustration before, and I may get it a little bit wrong. Best of my memory, and I think it was Brother Lentz that told the illustration, was he was at a meeting. And there was a preacher sitting on the platform as a real well-known preacher with the power of God on his life, man. And he was sitting up there, and some young kid come walking in a suit carrying a big old Bible and come and sit down on the front row. You know, he struts all the way down to the front so everybody sees him. He's sitting on the front row, you know, like, I'm a spiritual one. Guys, you didn't do that, okay? You don't have that spirit. He wanted everybody to see him, and that's why he's down there in the front row. I'm a spiritual one, you know. And the preacher turned to a younger preacher on the platform and said, go get that kid. Can bring him up here. He went and said, the preacher wants to see you. Me? He noticed me, you know. Wow. So walk up there. He said, that's a big old Bible you got there, ain't it, bud? Yes, sir. He said, yeah. Something to the effect of, you'll start getting somewhere when you learn that Bible's carrying you. You ain't carrying the Bible. Now go sit down.
Amen.
See, it's a hidden thing. It's deep. It's personal. It's God ministering to you. It's you falling in love with your Bible and seeking it with your whole heart. I'm talking about you and God. That's the point of church. Yeah. See, I'm not trying to make you utterly dependent on pastors so I can build a ministry. I'm trying to build you. And I can't do it, but that book will.
Amen.
It's a concealed thing. Look at this in verse number 12. He said, blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. You guys realize that if you don't have a teachable spirit, the Bible won't set you apart.
That's right.
You ever meet somebody that thinks they know it all already?
Yes, sir.
You older folks, you ever have some younger person walk up to you and start talking to you about life like they know who you are and where you're at and what you're going through?
Amen.
I was praying with a guy yesterday, I think it was, and he had a wife and two daughters, right? And his younger daughter's getting married now. I've known him for literally 20 years now. And we were pairing up in prayer teams, and he's like, hey, you want to pray with me? I said, sure. We got down, we prayed together, and he's like, and Lord, you know, I pray you'd help Pastor Reagan with his wife and his daughters. Lord, I know what he's going through. I was trying not to laugh while he's praying, because he's saying, you know, he had nothing but girls in his house. He didn't have any boys, by the way. Did I mention that? He had just daughters. And I tried not to laugh. He's like, I know what he's going through. he does, right? And I'm not going through anything. I love my girls and my wife. Sorry, guys. He was saying from a male perspective, trying to father and husband girls. He's been there. He's raised his kids. He knows what it's like. I could take it from him. You know what's really aggravating? Somebody walks up to you and acts like they know what it's like to be where you're at when they're not.
Right.
And you stand there and you graciously smile. Like, okay, you little snot. Right? How do you think God feels?
No.
When we approach Him and His Word like we know it all. Okay, you little snot.
Folks, we don't even know the questions to ask half the time.
Right.
Let alone the answers to those questions. Folks, you got to keep a teachable spirit. Little things like this stick out to me, and you guys should, if you're a preacher, you should note this kind of thing down and do your very, very best to ask God to grab you with certain things. They'll stick out to you, and they'll help you. All of you, but especially preachers, it helps you a lot. I had a lost man, doesn't even know the Lord. Very high level, skilled, three-time world champion and all the rest of that stuff. He's a black belt. An advanced black belt. Took years to get it the hard way. I mean, legitimate, no joke. He said the best black belts in the world keep a white belt mentality. And walked away. You know what I watch him do with white belts and blue belts and purple belts? They come in and they want to show off what they know and they want to show, well, what, yeah, that won't work. It didn't work because, you know what he does? It didn't work because it won't work, man. He's trying to coach him and tell him what to do. You know what he does? Well, yeah, man, but it, he goes, hey, guys, just literally just walk away, just ignore him, just walk away from him. It's like, okay, stupid, do it your way. Not wasting my time on you. Why? Because you're not teachable. You think you know it all. Okay, man. Knock yourself out. I'm done. Why? I'll go teach somebody that wants to know. I'm not going to waste my breath trying to help you if you don't want help. Why would I do that? I'm just going to drive you away. I'm going to aggravate myself because you won't listen. And now I got an attitude towards you. I'm just going to walk away. Figure it out, knucklehead. You know one of the stupid things I used to say back in the day? I used to say I graduated from the school of hard knocks. That's a dumb thing to say. You know what that's like saying? That's like saying I got a thick skull and I'm stupid. And I don't care what you say, I'm going to figure it out myself because I like walking around with pain and scars in life and being a failure. But I got the experience. My own man. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. I know life's tough enough and I want to be willing to suffer for Jesus Christ. I don't need flowery beds of ease while others, you know, bear their cross. But I sure enough don't want to just learn from the school of hard knocks. If you can teach me something the right way and let me ingest that thing into my heart and become part of who I am and I don't have to learn the hard way, there's some things I don't want to learn the hard way. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to go through it. I want God to get that book in me and make a difference in my life. I want a teachable spirit. It's a concealed work. It's between me and God in the recesses of my heart. And I'm telling you, if you want to be sanctified, if you want God to use you, make sure there's a concealed work going on. I'm going to give you the last thought real fast and I'm going to stop. It's a confessed way. Look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You know, if you get the Bible in you and you love the Bible and you soak up the Bible, then the more of the Bible you bring in, you know what's going to happen? It's going to come out. You know what? Some of you need the pressure taken off of you to witness. I need to be a witness. I need to be a witness. I need to be a witness. And then you wonder why you never win anybody to Christ. How about you fall in love with the Bible? How about you get in your Bible? How about you grow in the Word of God? And just learn that Bible, wallow in that Bible, and love that Bible, and ask God to teach you that Bible, and listen to preaching and grow, and watch what God does naturally. What you love, you talk about. You know, every time I'm not here, and almost every time when I'm in the pulpit, how often does my wife come up? I try not to embarrass the poor girl. How often do my kids come up? When I'm not home, it's not just my wife and kids that come up in my preaching, it's you. Maybe as I mature, that'll stop, but I don't think so. You want to know why? I love her.
Amen.
I love those girls. I'm proud of being a girl dad. I got girl father sweatshirts that I wear with pride. Because I love them. You know why I talk about my church? Because I love you.
Yeah.
Do you know what happens when I love the Lord and I love the Bible? It comes out. And there's a power behind it. There's a spirit behind it. There's like, wow, that person's actually satisfied and has something that I don't have. And then a work can begin to be done in their hearts by the spirit and power of God. It's not about the intellect. You run through the Bible and you see how many people, how much time did the demoniac of Gadara have to get settled and the scars all healed up and the proper, I mean, sure he had some clothes on at that point, but the proper wardrobe, I mean, he hadn't made it down to Macy's or wherever else you go to get all suited up.
Right.
He didn't have time to get to Banana Republic and find the latest and greatest. He just went and told him. Something that was in his heart. The woman at the well just went and told him something that was in her heart. And when she just told him something was in her, I don't have all the answers, but just come. Just check it out for yourself. Holy Spirit says, yes, that's, see, they got something you don't got. And here you are bringing them to church, and then pastor leads them to Christ. Well, pastor led him to Christ. Well, pastor led me to Christ. No, you led him to Christ. We work together, praise God, but he used you because you love that Bible. And since you love that Bible, it had the power to sanctify you and set you apart and consecrate you for service. And God said, I can use that. I'm going to use that because you love that Bible. Folks, you need the Bible. So this is why the devil has all the witty inventions to entertain you and keep you out of the Bible. This is why the preachers make you doubt the Bible. This is why little devils in human form come and confuse you about the Bible. This is why scholars and universities and translators pollute the Bible. This is why God promised to preserve his word from this generation forever and has given you a Bible. That Bible will sanctify you. You want God to use you? You want to get cleaned up? You want help this morning?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give you a chance to respond, and what I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you to get down here and say, God, help me to love that book more. Clean me up according to that Bible. Let's bow our heads this morning and stand to our feet. As the pianist comes, I want to give you an opportunity to talk to God. The Bible has the power to sanctify you.